From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his final message in this series in the book of Joshua. The message is called A Sermon About Us and Our Savior. The text is chapter 24, verse 29, which is the brief obituary of this man who had served the Lord so faithfully. In the course of this farewell to Joshua, Dr. Cairns is drawing lessons from Joshua's life and career that foreshadow the ministry of our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Joshua's name reminds us of the Savior, for it's simply the Old Testament form of Jesus. Joshua's work parallels Christ's, for he led Israel out of the wilderness into the land of promise, even as Christ brings his people out of the wilderness of sin into the glorious rest of salvation in heaven. There are also striking contrasts between Joshua and Christ. Joshua died and returned to dust, but Christ died and rose again. Another inescapable lesson from Joshua is that death is inevitable. As an old hymn puts it, life at best is very brief. Joshua had spent many years getting to the promised land, but he actually spent only a few years enjoying it. So the brevity of life should teach us to focus on that which is of eternal value. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 8. My beloved. This was a golden name which the ancient church in her most joyous moments was wont to give to the anointed of the Lord. When the time of the singing of birds was come, and the voice of the turtle was heard in her land, her love note was sweeter than either as she sang, My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Ever in her song of songs doth she call him by that delightful name, My beloved. Even in the long winter, when idolatry had withered the garden of the Lord, her prophets found space to lay aside the burden of the Lord for a little season, and to say, as Isaiah did, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. Though the saints had never seen his face, though as yet he was not made flesh, nor had dwelt among us, nor had man beheld his glory, yet he was the consolation of Israel, the hope and joy of all the chosen, the beloved of all those who were upright before the Most High. We, in the summer days of the church, are also wont to speak of Christ as the best beloved of our soul, and to feel that he is very precious, the chiefest among 10,000, and the altogether lovely. So true is it that the church loves Jesus and claims him as her beloved, that the apostle dares to defy the whole universe to separate her from the love of Christ, and declares that neither persecutions, distress, affliction, peril, or the sword have been able to do it. Nay, he joyously boasts, In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, that we knew more of thee, thou ever-precious one! My sole possession is thy love. In earth beneath or heaven above I have no other store, and though with fervent suit I pray and importune thee day by day, I ask thee nothing more.
Savior, live in me from day to day.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, "Revival," during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The first great lesson we've got to learn from this sermon, from the death of Joshua, about ourselves is the inevitability of death. You're not too young to die. You're not too strong to die. You're not too healthy to die. The inevitability of death. The wise woman of Tekoa said, "We must needs die, and there is water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. We must die." Paul wrote to the Hebrews, "It is appointed unto man once to die." The scripture tells us very clearly when that moment comes, there is no man who can restrain his soul from fleeing out into God's eternity. There is no man can get a grip on life. I realize very well that it appears that attitude has a great deal to do with the progress of certain illnesses. But I must say that I get sickened when I read of the stupidity and the empty bravado of some people, when, especially celebrities, when they're diagnosed with, say, rampant cancer or something of that nature, and they say, "I'm going to whip this." Well, now, we wish people well when they suffer from some dread disease, and we wish well for their therapies. But my friend, let me tell you, when death comes, you're not going to do any whipping of anything. It's appointed to you and to me to die. The question is not, will we die, but when? I don't know when. I really have no say in when. I have no control at all over when. The other question is how. And I'm not talking by what physical means. I'm talking spiritually. In what state will we die? We read of Joshua that he died with a glorious testimony. The servant of the Lord. That's the way I want to die. To be honest, I'm not particularly worried as to when it is. People think I'm a little crazy about this, but unless the Lord changes my mind, it's what I've always believed and what I've always felt. Some years ago, a doctor did a little run on me and he thought, you've got a hiatal hernia. You lose a bit of that camel's hump in front, it'll not trouble you any. But those of you who have ever had that know when the pain first hits. I also at that time had gallstones and gall problems. So with all that going together, when all those things hit, the pains were very, very much like your heart was about to burst and your heart was about to give out. Hard to tell the difference. In fact, doctors have told me they've treated people for a heart attack because of these same pains, that found it wasn't hard at all. And I had to start to think. And I used to say, and I still say, if I could only know that this heart attack would take me, I'm not calling any doctor. I'm not looking for any tubes. And I really don't want to live any longer. If I'm ready to go, let me go. Now that may be crazy because it may not just take me, it may just leave me even stupider than I am now. And that would not be very wise to go through that. But those are decisions we all will have to make. I'm not getting into that. I'm simply saying that I'm not particularly worried as to when I die. If God wants me to live till I'm 60, that's how long I live. If he wants me to die when I'm 80, that's when I'll die, and that's okay by me, one way or the other. But the one thing that does concern me is that I would die with this testimony. A servant of the Lord. I got to thinking about Joshua this morning, and I realized as I read these verses and thought again, this puts a whole new perspective on life, doesn't it? You see, Joshua had done many great things. How many men in the world have ever done what Joshua did? In fact, I'll go this far. No other man in the history of the world has ever done what Joshua did. Who else has stood there and commanded the sun to stand still? God in heaven heard his cry, and the entire system of the heavens came to a halt. Whoever else has done it? None but Joshua. For the space of a day, God called a halt to the motions of the universe at the word of one man. Joshua did a great thing. Joshua saw God dry up the Jordan. Joshua saw the walls of Jericho sink down into the ground. My, what a great work he did. What wonderful things he accomplished. But what use would those things be now in death? I began to think of some of the great things that great men had done. Think of Alexander the Great. one of the greatest military geniuses the world has ever known, conquered the world. And there were no more worlds left to conquer. And he died, a young man. What use his conquest then? Remember when we were studying Latin and Roman history, we had to translate about Hannibal doing the impossible, crossing the Alps. The Romans were so secure, no one could come from Carthage across the Alps, but he did it. My, he was a celebrity. But when he comes to die and go out to meet God, what is it in the record book? I crossed the Alps with so many elephants. I read the obituaries of great men. They worked here. They made this much money. They made this record. They sang before this prince. They ascended this great height of human acclaim. Now what? What use is it? Joshua went out to meet his God. There was only one thing that mattered. What was it? It was that God recognized him as one of his own. God knew him. God owned him. And God received him as his child. My friend, that's what matters, and that's how I want to die. What about you? Many other people had died before Joshua during his lifetime without that testimony. Think of the thousands he had seen cut down in rebellion against God. They had been born into the same nation. They had gone through the same religious rituals. They had had the same religious education. They had had the same religious opportunities. And yet they died in their sin, cut off from God. Millions around the world today are dying. It's not just the death knell for bodies we hear, but the death knell for souls. For millions are dying without Christ. Some of you are in this meeting without Christ, and you are dying. I want you to understand that. You and I, at this very point in time, when we pride ourselves that we are living, we are actually dying. You've had many opportunities to repent and be converted. You've had many spiritual advantages. You've had an open Bible. You've had Christian Sabbath school teachers, perhaps Christian day school teachers, perhaps Christian parents, Christian preachers, Christians praying for you, Christians working with you. You've had the Holy Spirit work in your heart to cause you conviction of sin. He has caused sometimes an upheaval in your whole emotional system. He has made you feel your need of Christ. He has pointed you heavenward via the cross. And yet some of you are still rejecting Christ, dying without him. As I thought of Joshua's death, I thought, here's a man who had spent a lifetime getting to his promised land. And yet after a few short years, he died and left it all behind. How true to life. I have known people to work their fingers to the bone, to work all sorts of hours, to make all sorts of money, so that when they would come to 50 or 55 or 60 or whatever years old, they would have the ability to live the rest of their days in luxury, only to find, as the 49th Psalm teaches very, very clearly, that they couldn't hold on to it. The grim huntsman hunted them down. The great scythe of death cut them down. Took them years to get what they wanted. And then they had to die and leave it all behind. There are some things that to some of you seem very, very important. And they may be important to a point. But you do yourself a great injury if you're focusing on things instead of the Savior. Because let me tell you, when you've got all those things, you're going to leave them. You're going to leave them. And then what? Then what? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.